everyone. Welcome on into the 42nd episode of the Wide World of Wargaming X-Wings podcast. As always, I am your wonderful host, Vince Morgado. Joining me, as per the usual, Mr. Jeff Wilder.
The Emperor is not as forgiving as I am.
And Mr. Drew Bishop.
You underestimate my power.
I like that voice.
Sorry.
Gentlemen, besides Drew taking me to the cleaners 2 weeks ago, what X-Wing escapades have you all been involved in lately?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Unfortunately, not really much. Our league fell on Halloween, so nobody wanted to play. I had my kit with me and everything. Nobody showed up. I haven't played since league two Thursdays ago, but I hope to play tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And Drew, I understand you kind of got left hanging last week, which I apologize for, but did you manage to put in any work this week?
I did, yeah. I played a wonderful gentleman named Derek yesterday, and we played two games. He was working on not as formation flying as I've seen him fly in the past, but he likes he's trying to get into aces. And so he was doing like a mini swarm of vulture droids with what's his name? Sunfac. So I tried out the resistance list that you and I, Vince, had been talking about very briefly. Yep. A couple weeks ago, because I finally got to put that on the table. And then I also played the scum list with Mux, the Three Cartels, and Sivor for the first time. And those were super fun games. I did manage to pull out both of them, but just by the skin of my teeth. Like, Initiative really? 3 Vulture Droids with Energy Shell charges really chew through that scum list extremely fast. And Sivor and a badly damaged Cartel managed to pull it out for me.
Nice.
That is not how I thought that game would go, especially with basically, you know, one calculate, three die shots.
Well, so they're all – so his – they were four Vultures, all Initiative 3, three of them being the one in Bullseye for the rerolling the blank.
Oh, he brought precise hunters.
Yeah, so against the scum list, it was four Initiative 3 ships versus an entire army of Initiative 2, and Seymour being three. So yeah, I lost a Cartel to Sunfac, and I lost a Cartel to the Energy Shell charges, and had to like pull myself up for the rest of the match, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Now, Vince, did I hear you boo the precise hunters?
No, I said ooh.
Because you were really excited for them back when Vultures first dropped, but then they were overpriced.
Yeah, I still am, and I think they are still overpriced. But if they get them down to the point where, you know, they appropriately are paying for Predator, which probably means that they're paying 1 point for it over the regular Separatist drone, I don't see any reason why you would see a Separatist drone anymore.
Yeah.
Makes sense. We might start seeing that. I know that there was a lot of...
They're two daughters, right? You can only have two of them in the list?
Three. You can have three.
You have three in the list?
Okay. Yep, three in the list at maximum. So we had three of those and then one of the other Initiative 3 guys. I don't remember what its ability was, but I know that he was just taking it for the Initiative 3.
Well, you could also take one of the uniques, like 404 or 311.
Oh, that's right. That's right, huh?
But anyway, that's... I don't play Separatists, and I don't want to pretend that I know a whole lot about how to build those because I don't know how to fly swarms yet. With the rise of the Z95, that may change very shortly.
True that.
Speaking of, we're going to talk about the Spanish Grand Championships, which I believe happened last weekend.
Yes, sir.
And I mean, one could say that Daniel Taylor was the inspiration for a lot of people to maybe bring Rebels back out. or the Spanish just have a very strange X-Wing meta. Because when we look at the top 16, there was a cut of 32 because it was 170-plus players. But when they cut down to 16, eight of them were Rebel players. Which anyone who plays American X-Wing goes, what the fuck did you just say? Because eight Rebel lists don't make the top anything anymore, probably not even top 64.
Yeah, this is like a cut from the heydays of Rebel beef, except none of this is Rebel beef, really.
Well, I mean, Mr. Angel Sanchez with Cassian Braylon Wedge Partisan Renegades that's pretty rebel beef. I mean, all they did.
Yeah, that's rebel beef. Yeah,
oh my god, Cornhorn made it into the top eight.
Wasn't there two? There was another Corn out there, I thought.
I only saw one in our top 16, but
okay, my bad. By the way, shout out to the gentleman who follows the Gold Squadron podcast, Cornhorn will win worlds. I wanted to believe too, sir. I do. Unfortunately, it didn't happen for you. But I just want to talk about that list, especially Corrin, Hera in the Ghost, and Arvel. Damn. you've got a 9-hole Cornhorn. You've got, you know, Hera with Saw, which we don't really need to say anything else about other than don't get in front of it. And then you've got what I think is probably one of the best deals in Rebels, which is Arvel with Crackshot and Intimidate.
Corrin is running R2-D2 for those heals. That is expensive.
That's a nine on him. That's 9 points.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have run R2-D2 on Corrin. I don't think that. What, 4 more points for a regen over, or 5 more points for a regen over what you pay for an X-wing is the right way to go. But apparently it worked for him.
Yeah, man. They all hit pretty hard, and Arvel just kind of gets in there, right?
Well, if you end up in front of Hera and you get blocked by Arvel, you're just dead.
Yep. You will not walk away from that.
You just explode.
There's a lot of three and four ship lists in the cut, which also makes me believe this is one of the reasons why this list did particularly well.
There are a couple of, if you look at, still just talking Rebels, if you look at number one, which is Han and Lando, which we talked about a long, long time ago when they dropped the points on both of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then number five is Han and Wedge. Two ship lists, doing very well there. A two ship rebel list,
and it is the handbrake Han without the handbrake.
Yeah, it's just regen Han, and I will never take a stress token Han.
Yep.
I like the guy who came in. If you look at the gentleman right below the Wedge Han, Nora Lando Arvel is a combination of the list I took to the Mountain View Hyperspace Open, and then the guy who won the Mountain View Hyperspace Open.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very reminiscent of that list. I like it. It's Nora with expert handling. That's very interesting. I'm so sorry. Every time I see Nora, I'm like, oh, she's in the, what's it called?
The Ark?
The Ark,
but it's not her in the Ark. It's her in the Y-Wing. Expert handling, dorsal veteran. That expert handling is pretty good.
Yeah, and then you've got something that I have said is just waiting to blow up in extended, which is Lando with Bistan, Nien Numb, and Perceptive Copilot.
You think Bistan doesn't do that well only because he can't openly sit outside of the cockpit or the gunner on the YT and just scream as he shoots everybody to hell?
So what's Bistan's, what's he bring?
So Bistan says that after you make a primary attack, if you are still focused, you are allowed to make a second attack at a different target.
Do you have to spend the focus token for that?
You do not.
Why did I think that was... So what's... Oh, Baze is the one where you can get extra focuses, but they're...
Yes. Baze is if you are... If you focus while multiple things are at range one, it becomes a red focus, but you can take multiple tokens.
Gotcha.
I would love to see this list with, instead of Nora... What if you took Jan?
Oh, I think Nora is part of your big damage output, especially with the VTG.
Well, think about it.
I mean, she's also capable of soaking up a tremendous amount of damage if you put her out in front.
Yeah, that's true.
And there is
Atlanta doesn't want to be in front of anything anyway.
Despite what I said too about there being a lot of three ship lists, pretty much every list except for these ones that we've touched down upon, I think there was one Rack Whisper in there too. Everything is four or more ships. So Nora is a very solid choice.
Yeah, I mean you've got Gorka Alonso running another version of the resistance efficiency list. Finn, Kova, Jessica, and Snap. But we do have to give, you know, special mention to the gentleman who won it all, Mario Jimenez, with, this is going to sound familiar to anyone who watched Worlds, Braylon, Jake, Wedge, Blount, and a Bandit squad.
No crack on Blount, though.
No crack on Blount. He did spend that point on Predator for Jake, which I would not have done, but well played to him. I love Predator on Jake normally, but just the ability to get Blount a four-die range one shot with crack shot, I think is probably a little bit better than you would get out of Jake.
Yeah, I mean, like, Blount seems more of a hemp kind of guy. I don't think he'd do a lot of crack, so.
I'm deleting that joke.
Lieutenant Blount, not Blount. So I would suspect that I'm checking the points right now, but I suspect he did that to end up at even points, or maybe what's he got? It's an A-wing. Why am I having a hard time finding the A-wing?
Well, Jake is 39. That build is 39 point Jake.
That's 39?
Yep. Jake is 36.
Either way, you're going to have one of them with, yeah, I don't know.
Yep. actually, another land, three Landos in the cut, which I think is the highest I've ever seen. You go down to Javier, it's number 13 overall with Jake, Wedge, Lando, which is my list exactly. Just a few different upgrades and definitely no Kanan Jarrus.
I mean, it's extended, right? You could still run this in a hyperspace. Or no, I guess Kanan is extended now, is hyperspace, huh?
Yeah, he's hyperspace because the ghost is in now.
Oof, oh my gosh. I mean, you know, hey, turns out big ships with powerful abilities with force are pretty good.
Lando with three mods is pretty good, is basically what you're saying.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, this is an interesting cut. This is the most Rebels I think we've seen in a cut in a long time.
Very long time. Yep. Yeah, well, every list is different, although they have you know, similar cherry-pick things.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. All the lists are, you know, there's nothing that's the same in that top 16 cut. That's interesting.
We should give this one out to the scum players. The highest finishing witch is Mr. Daniel Castano with Unkar Plutt, Sarisu Marksmanship, and Auto Blasters.
Sarisu, wow.
Yeah.
M3As making a comeback. Four Lawn with advanced sensors and Mist Hunter, which is a throwback. Haven't seen that in a few months. And then stock old Tarok because old Tarok is really good.
No cannon though on Four Lawn, which is kind of strange.
What does Mist Hunter get him? Is that just giving him a barrel roll?
It gives you the cannon upgrade, and I know in 1.0 it forced you to take a cannon slot.
Right. I'm just wondering.
Let me double check what it does now. Mist Hunter
gives you a white barrel roll.
So he took Mist Hunter just to get the white barrel roll. That's interesting.
Yeah, I guess.
Didn't even put a jamming beam on there for the disrespect.
Yeah, oh. No, and that's the other thing. Forlorn, too, is very interesting. Yeah, it just adds you a cannon slot now. Okay. Well, and gives you the white barrel roll.
Yeah. And then the other list was probably a little bit of a salute to Nicholas from the Netherlands with Tarani Kolda, Captain Seavor. I don't know who this is. Sol Sixa?
It's a Skurg pilot.
She is the arch nemesis of Captain Nim. And then later on in some of the extended comics, she winds up helping and joining Nim.
Her hotter sister is Sol Tenna. Sol Sixa and
her Her special ability, if you would drop a device using a one straight, you may drop it using any other. So she's a not as good Emon, basically.
Well, she's a short range Emon, which is also deadly, especially with a Skurg.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of interesting to drop a template using a one hard. That's an interesting ability.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't as good as Emon, but it's also not as expensive as Emon, so
you will see them if cluster missiles work anywhere like they used to. You will see Sol Sixa and Nim again when the new pack comes out. I'm assuming that's what it may do. I'm hoping they'll disappear after a turn because I think if you can just flood the field with a bunch of cluster mines, Sorry, that's what I meant. Cluster mines, yeah. There was a list that a good shout out to Ernesto I don't know if he plays X-Wing all that much anymore, but Ernesto made a huge splash in 1.0 with his Sol Sixa Nim list, where basically he built a fortress of mines.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was pretty solid with it before, because he could also come at you and then have Sol Sixa just drop them on you.
Yeah, but that list sucked.
Okay.
That was just like build a wall of mines and hide behind it and force the other player to that was like a tail end of 1E list that I hated.
This is true. But again, you know, we who wants to get the where's the Nim's title card to like actually do something in a game, right?
Yeah.
The Havoc.
Where you drop a crew slot and add a sensor and an astromech.
Sorry, I just meant the other half of Nim's ability. While you defend against an attack obstructed by a bomb or mine, roll one additional defense die.
Right. So that's why he built the wall of mines, so that he was getting additional defense as well.
Honestly.
Oh, yeah. So hold on. That's 2.0. And 1.0, Nim actually just added the evade result, which was even right. It was like a reverse Nora, which is crazy strong.
You know, guys, adding Havoc to a bomber, to a Skurg, and using it on an R4, you double your number of blue maneuvers.
I don't believe it. R4 is. Yeah.
That's it worked? Right.
I think so. I thought R4 was small ship only.
I think it's small ship only.
Is R4 astromech? Let me double check.
Yeah, pretty sure it is.
Okay, it is small ship only. That's. Okay.
Yep. Oh, I know. That was when we first started building with Scum. My friend and I, David Zelenka, shout out to the Northern Continental Champion for Star Wars Legion. We tried to do that, and then we were like, oh, the R4 can't go on medium-based ships. Yeah, darn it.
I've tried to put R4 on so many medium-based ships, man.
Yep. Dude, it would be so good.
On a Skurg is really the best, but the M12.
Yep. Arc.
Oh.
Arc. Put it on an Arc 170.
Yeah. Yep.
That's probably why it's not allowed, because if you gave if you gave three Arc 170s blue two hards, Republic runs away with this game.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say even Nora for Rebels, she would be not nigh unstoppable, but like, oh my gosh.
They'd be very good, but they still wouldn't be played. Let's see, who else is out here? We've got the gentleman who came in second with Vader Whisper and an Omicron with Palpatine. Surprising exactly zero people with a 5-force, 3-ship Imperial list. There was only two other Imperials, I think. This one's more of an Ollie type, with the Inquisitor, Vader, and Whisper. And then the Rack.
Pretty much Rack exactly, Bell. Right?
Is it?
That's it. That's the list.
Yeah. And somebody did make the cut with Whisper and three, whatchamacallums, three Phantoms.
Well, we got a Shirano Fell. Did you mention that one?
I think I just did, but I'm probably not loud enough. Let's just do this. I'm just gonna say it. Fell at 68, and I'm sorry, Fen Rao at 68, and Suntir Fell at 52 is a problem.
53. Yeah.
That's an issue. It's really hard to argue that Fen Rao's ability is worth 15 points.
I agree with you. I think Fen Rao is too expensive. You could easily, I'm vulnerable to the argument that, hey, Jeff, Fen Rao's too expensive. When you fly Fen Rao, absolutely no pressure.
Wow.
That's a fair argument. Okay.
Hilarious.
You really should get like your own X-Wing pricing chart. So they don't put green dice in the calculation at all.
That's the nicest thing you ever said to me. That's absolutely correct. for you, Jeff, Fen Rao is 24 points. Well, because that's all you'll get out of them.
Shout out to friend of the show, Chewbacca. Jeff, for you, defenders are 25 points.
The thing that's interesting is Suntir Fell at 53. Okay, obviously he's really good, really strong ability, good initiative, double repositioner. But on the other hand, somebody like Ali doesn't take him to the World Championship, right? I think that the the check on Soontir Fel is that 3 hit point, 3 green die. You pays your money, you takes your chances. If we were talking about Soontir Fel from 1E, even without auto thrusters, where he can token stack really easily, I would completely agree with you. I think part of the cost of playing Soontir Fel in addition to the 53 points is risking losing 2 points of damage on just the most ridiculous unlucky shot and losing 27 points from it.
Yeah, I hear you. But if you think about it in like the, I will call it the modern list building context, you're talking about Soontir Fel at 61 with that extra hole, and he's 7 points cheaper than Fen Rao, which is just wrong.
So I think it is and it isn't. And I think it isn't because of who Fen Rao can be paired with. For instance, when 2.0 first dropped, one of the strongest scum lists out there, and it's, you know, it's really your choice, but it was Mux with the Moldy Crow and, you know, Triple Zero or any other, you know, somewhat decent crew with Fen Rao and a couple of, you know, whatever else you want to throw in there, old Tarok plus a something else. And that list was pretty gross. And so I definitely feel like Fen Rao maybe, of course, isn't worth that much by himself. But when you lower him to a point where you can put him with a couple of, you know, semi-decent buddies, you really get a powerhouse of a list that might be able to take down some of these things. Now, can it take down a triple Imperial list with, like, 7 force? I don't think so, even if you did lower Fen Rao, but that's the only defense that I have to why Fen Rao might be costed the way he is.
Here's another thing. Another problem with Fen Rao is that Scum lost their only real coordinate caddy.
This is true.
Don't see lead anymore. And without that ability to pass a focus token and then have Fen come in and use a target lock, that 5 die attack really doesn't bite as hard unless you put Fearless on it. Soontir Fel does not have this problem, especially if you spend 2 points for Predator or 5 points for Lone Wolf, or if you run an Omicron. So it's really easy for him to get that, to get it, you know, basically even 3 mods. If he's got the bit after you, he can evade into his boost, line you up in his bullseye, pick up the focus anyway. Oh, by the way, I have a coordinated target lock.
Well, he can't target lock.
Well, he can. You can buy a targeting computer now.
Well, you can, but then we're not talking about the 5. We're not talking about the 5 health Soontir.
Yeah. Well, no, because the 5 health Soontir is what, 59, or it's 50. It's, I'm sorry, it's 68. It's the same price.
I don't think that Soontir Fel has proven himself to be a problem. I just don't.
I think probably the stats that we looked at from World says he was, where he was a 32% to make the cut ship.
Yeah, I mean, Vince has a point there, but there's the other, but that's the big difference too, to bring Soontir up to Fen Rao, because Fen Rao can't focus evade. Now he can get into range 1 to get that, I'll get that auto evade. But that is better than focus evade, but only if you can get in there, right? Now, granted, of course, the Fang Fighter can, but I think overall, over the course of an entire tournament, the fact that Soontir can evade boost or evade barrel roll and then get the focus on top of that, right? Like, I think that overall is stronger.
I go back to the stats where Fen Rao was 40% to make the cut.
Right. Like the math for Fen is there, whereas the math for Soontir is there, but the math for Fen is not.
The problem is it is also just a problem of who he gets to be paired with. Soontir Fel gets paired with what we can basically agree on, and what some websites like Advanced Targeting Computer, if you folks haven't seen that, we do encourage you to look at it. Darth Vader is by some statistical measurements the second most competitive ship in X-Wing. And I don't think too many people would agree, would disagree with that. And when you can back him up with another six and then a cheap shuttle with a board-wide mod, Fell becomes a serious problem. And he has been consistently for the entirety of second edition. Like, when has Fell not been competitive? I'll wait.
Why is competitive the? Why are you equating competitive and problem? They're not.
No.
They're not the same to me.
No. Jeff, my point is that Fell has never not been competitive, and Fen, for a solid chunk of time, was considered borderline to unplayable, unless you were an expert with him.
I'm fine with Fell has always been competitive.
Right.
Why is that? Why am I not supposed to be fine with Fell has always been competitive?
Because it's a clear inequity that we all just basically agreed on.
I don't think I'm agreeing with you. I agree with you that Fell has always been competitive. I don't agree with you that that makes Fell a problem. I haven't seen. Okay, let me put it this way. My feeling on when something is a problem is when it is oppressive. Whether it's winning big events or sweeping tiny events or not, if it is making it so that people literally don't see the point in playing the game.
Okay.
The way that Triple Upsilons did fairly recently, right?
Right.
That's what I consider a problem in competitive X-Wing. Just a ship being consistently good, like Vader and Fell, even at this point, I guess we can say Braylon and Wedge as well. Those to me are not problems in the game. If you want to talk about minor adjustments, I'm cool with that, but they're not problems. I think Finn is more expensive than I'm comfortable playing, but ironically, because you mentioned Leet earlier, the extended list that I want to take to a couple small tournaments that are coming up has both Leet and Finn in it, so that's funny. I think he's too expensive, but like you said, 40% cut rate.
40. So 40. That's ridiculous.
So do you think Fen needs to go up from 68?
No, I think Fel needs to go up closer to Fen.
He's 7 points cheaper with all the quote unquote best upgrades on him.
Like if you go targeting computer hull upgrade on Soon Tier Fel.
Well, then if you're doing that, then you're doing things wrong.
What says who?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
I don't know about
that.
This is a conversation for another day, though.
Predator is better. Shield upgrade, hull upgrade is the way to go for Fel. And that's shield upgrade, hull upgrade, Predator is plus 17 points, right?
19. He's an evade 3, so a hull upgrade is 7. Wait, I can't math. Yeah, you're right. You're right, Jeff. 17. You got it.
17 points. So that puts Fel at 70.
Yep.
Which is two higher than Fen. I think that looks like a pretty reasonable pair of ships. And I haven't really seen anything that convinces me otherwise.
Okay. I think the build, if I was ever going to run Soon Tier Fel, I would run him with targeting computer and shield upgrade, personally, just to keep that first crit off the hull.
Shield upgrade is definitely better than hull upgrade, but if you're gonna bounce for that, if you're gonna pay 8 points for that, pay the 7 and get yourself another hull.
Oh, and your odd points.
It is really important, and the fewer health you have, the more dependent you are on variants saving you, the more important it is. That's why it's more expensive with higher agility.
On any other ship, Jeff, I would agree. Almost any other ship, I would agree with you. For Fel, that ability to get to take a target lock and reposition, and off of that reposition proc a focus token, that's too valuable offensively for me to not take.
Yeah, I'm just saying you're pouring more points into Fel, and you're half point. You're getting Fel half pointed at exactly the same threshold.
Well, no, I'm pouring less. I'm saving 5 points.
No, you're putting more points. You're putting more points into Fel over his base cost.
Okay.
And you're getting half pointed at the same threshold.
Okay. I understand. I'm just telling you, as a guy that plays the way I do, the build I would go with is targeting computer, and a shield upgrade. Just to keep that, because the most of the time you're going to be playing where he's not getting shot. That's going to be your goal, and eating that one crit that you maybe evaded the other two on could be the difference.
What else? Sorry, no, I don't have anything else to say. I think Hull and targeting computer is the way to go on Fel. You got the extra points, but at this point too, you know, one of the main issues is Sunfac, and that might be the reason why we don't see a lot of Fen Rao, because he is so expensive.
Yeah, because
right? Sunfac, you know, 7 points more than Suntu. Like, yeah, as far as competitive play goes, you know, there's a lot of reasons why a ship that costs 7 more points at their peak performance isn't played over the other one, right?
I just want to point out, if you scroll down into the mid-20s, there were 2 more Corrin Horns in the top 32.
That's pretty awesome, though, man. Like, that's freaking cool.
Here's a Rebel list for you. Crackshot Wedge, Sense R2 Luke, Crackshot R2 Corrin. I'll take that against the Jedi list anytime. Anytime. I don't care which 3 you bring. I will take that list. Anybody else in here we should mention? I mean, we've got the ubiquitous Seer Swarm. We've got the Matt Carey special coming in 8th.
I like the double silencer Scorch at 21.
Kylo Blackout. Yeah.
Yeah, Kylo Blackout Scorch.
What points would we have to drop the other two named silencers down, really? Especially recoil.
Recoil's at a weird place because he's the same price as a first order test pilot and the same init. So basically, he's got a really lame pilot ability that he gets absolutely free.
Wait, recoil? He has a lame pilot ability?
Yeah. Pilot ability is when you're stressed at range 0 to 1, you can treat a bullseye ability as if it were a full arc ability.
I don't think that's a dumb ability. With a ship with auto thrusters, I think that's fantastic. And the dial on the silencer.
Yeah, I mean, give us a build where that's good.
Proton rockets.
Yeah, it's not good, unfortunately.
Okay.
I mean, just give it a try. You'll see. There are. It's a really lame ability, and that's why it's effectively free.
Also, advanced protons. Oh no, that wouldn't. No. Misread. Really, you're talking just about either. Yeah, they don't have a cannon slot, so yeah, really is just proton rockets, or a really easy crack shot proc. I don't know. Predator wouldn't be bad. Just, I would like Predator on him.
So I don't really know as far as the Sinar and the First Order test pilot and recoil by extension. How low you have to drop them. I can tell you that I enjoyed flying 3 of them. It was fun. It was fun for my opponent. It was fun for me. And that's a bonus X-Wing game as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and then Blackout's just weird. Like, it's, I mean, he just says, yeah, go ahead and hide behind that gas cloud. It's not going to work out the way you think.
Yes, although gas clouds, I really like the outmaneuver build, although it's tough for me to give up Fanatical, but Blackout outmaneuver advanced optics.
Ooh.
As long as you don't twist your tactics and strategy to try to shoot through stuff, Blackout's a pretty good pilot. The problem is Kylo's not all that much more expensive.
I mean, he's.
There is very few First Order in this, too. Is there, that was the one thing I just noticed. Yeah, and it's in, what, 42, right?
No, 21st. Oriel Gomez.
I think there was another one I was just looking at.
Oh, yeah, coming in literally dead last in the cut is Scorch and 4 Zetas, the missile spam.
There you go.
Which, you know, Drew, that list you brought out against me, two Zetas, 3 Epsilons, and 1 Quick Draw. somebody brought that at our league night over at Isle, and you know, I may have lost to it, but I'm still not impressed with that list.
Yeah, dude, me too, man. I put it on the table just the other day to play Vince with it, and I was like, man, these things are gonna die fast, and they kind of did. There were you know, one or two rounds where it was like, okay, that's a dead TIE fighter. Okay, that's another dead SF. And the list, it felt like it just squeezed it out, and I don't know how I feel about lists like that. I'm worried if the cost goes down on any more of the generics for like any other faction, other than like the X-Wing, I think, for Rebels, like, you know, are we just gonna see giant swarms of, yeah, I don't know, I'm not a big fan of it.
What specific generics are you worried about?
Oh man, I think
Cartel Marauder's not coming down for sure. We know that.
Not going anywhere.
Yeah, and that was the other thing too. When I played yesterday with the Cartel Marauders, I was like, oh my god, these things have 5 health and 1 shield. Like, I didn't even I had no idea. I was like, whoa, these things are tanky. I mean, not too tanky, but
they eat enough. They eat enough.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm. There's a lot of ships. I think Rebels is where I'm looking the most, and I'm a little worried, only because there are so many ships in that faction that do the same thing, right? Like a B-Wing does the same thing an X-Wing does, but like their stats are slightly different, right? Like,
no, they do not do the same thing.
Okay. I mean, they're very close to the same thing. An X-Wing is more of a mobile fighter than the B-Wing is, but they're pretty close.
No, I think there's a pretty genuine difference in the ability of the X-Wing to pursue, where the B-Wing is king of the one, you know, is the only thing that can turn with basically a droid swarm.
Okay, I mean, that's fair, but pursuing is a pretty niche sort of thing to compare them on.
Well, it's
a lot of 2.0 games. A lot of 2.0 games. Unless your opponent is playing for you to chase after someone, chasing doesn't usually happen.
Yeah, I mean, okay. It's true. I agree, but it's just kind of like they're close. They're pretty close.
I think the problem is that there's not enough of a difference in just, you know, every their basic utility is close enough that the points difference also isn't enough. Is the way I would put it.
Yeah. Yeah. And to a certain extent, the U-Wing's there as well.
And the U-Wing just does what the B-Wing does, but better, because it can rotate on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason, really, you see B-Wings is because Braylon's ability is monstrous. Like, you know, Blades and Blues haven't been seen. Blues show up once in a while. Maybe you'll see a selfless Blade at a league night. But competitively, they don't exist. It's the same with the Red Squad Vets, and frankly, the Black Squad Aces are in the same boat too.
Yeah. The Black Squad Aces are just they're suffering from X-Wing.
Yeah, they're suffering from I-4.
Well, I mean, they're suffering from just the middling X-Wings just being just a tiny bit overpriced. Yep. All of them, pretty much, tiny bit overpriced. So,
and I look forward to the days. Go ahead, Jeff.
Number 30. This is the list that I very nearly took to the Berkeley Hyperspace. This is the Rick Ollier Wolf Matchstick and Broadside. The only reason I didn't take this exact list, the only reason I didn't take it is because I couldn't borrow a Republic Y-Wing from anybody.
Oh no.
Yeah. It ended up that I could have had one on the day, but I didn't. I would have been flying it completely cold. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a Y-Wing.
It's the best way to fly, baby.
I think that list looks fun. Just Rick, Wolf, Matchstick, and Broadside.
So I have something similar to that. I sent it to both of you guys and then revised it on the day because you know how I roll. It's Rick, Kid Flash. I'm replacing Padme with Ahsoka, with calibrated, and then Broadside with an ion cannon. All
right. So, not 3 Naboos.
No, I gave
Padme. You wussed out. Three nut boots.
I played one game. I did play one game with Padme and Kid Flash and Rick Ole. I did play one game with it. Yeah.
So what did you think of your Padme game? Because you know I badmouthed her a lot.
Hilariously, the guy I was playing against just refused to ever roll two focuses. Literally the entire game.
I'm telling you, that's fairly normal.
Here's the thing, Jeff.
Are you sure it wasn't Jeff you were playing? I'm just kidding.
Well, hilariously, that's what was happening is he kept rolling blanks. But it was so interesting in that he would throw four dice or five dice and never come up two focuses.
Yeah, it's pretty rare.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess. And look, all that means is that she's going to have a justifiable points decrease if there is, you know, a God of X-Wing.
I mean, the big thing is there's the Luminara combo they have to be careful of, right?
Not if you run both of them. I mean, not if I guess. I kind of guess.
I mean, what I'm saying is if they make her too cheap and Luminara is in a list with her, if they make her too cheap, then she's going to trigger every time anybody does anything. And then she's too good.
You've dumped 90,
it's going to be a pretty fine line to walk.
Basically dumped 90 points into Luminara Padme.
Ugh.
Is it really that much?
Luminara is 44.
Yeah, I don't think they're that. I don't think they're worth it.
Jeff, I totally hear you on what could happen. The problem is it's only really going to happen to like one ship, which is the way I flew. That was my intent the whole time I was flying it, is pick a target, put Padme on it, and then bring everyone in on that guy. So when he was defending, he could only ever spend either his focus or his force, never both.
Right.
And it did work one time, and it was the time where Anakin dropped an advanced proton on an Inquisitor, and he just imploded. That was pretty much
Kid Flash strikes
pretty
again.
Much perfect. Speaking of which, R2-C4, for anyone who doesn't know, really underrated droid on the Naboos. It's a really good way to boost.
He's very good at exploding. Yes.
No. Why would a drone be good at exploding?
Is that the one where you could spend an evade as a focus?
Calculate. It's a calculate.
Yep. Yeah. Calculate. Yeah.
Calculate.
It really is cool on Anakin because it gives him a second mod even after you spend his force.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think there's something there probably for four light Republic ships that isn't just Jedi, but I don't think it's as good as Jedi, meaning no one's going to fly it.
So we have nothing on the horizon for Republic as far as a large ship, right?
Not a thing, no.
Republic needs a large ship, man.
Do they?
I mean, I'll be honest with you, with how good some of the other ships are, I don't. It would have to be amazing for people to take it.
The entire game isn't competitive.
This is also true. This is also true. We try to focus on that, the same time, like you look at the Sith Infiltrator and how often it's seen now that it has been, you know, nerfed to high heavens, right?
That's gonna come back down. I would suspect that. Some that the base for both of those is going to come back down, and I wouldn't be.
What do you think? You think they'll, because hate killed it?
Well, also they just raised Maul to a ridiculous level.
I mean, I'm not. You know, hate is a very strong word, but FFG definitely has some sort of resentment for it. Sorry,
Drew.
Sorry.
God damn it,
three Drew. Three to nine is a very serious increase.
Right, exactly. No, it screams being afraid. It screams being scared.
Is six points really going to change anybody's mind? No.
I mean, it changes your mind when, like, dual sis were it was 12 points, right? And then there were the other things they increased as well. So it was just like Old Yeller being shot behind the barn. Basically.
Yeah, but that's the FFG way.
It really is. It seems to be.
I think the infiltrators are suffering from not being as good as a droid swarm. Just like really that simple. It is not hard to burn down 10 hull behind one green die.
Right.
And it's a shitload harder to burn down you know, 16, 18 hole behind two each. Like, every time you overroll with a droid, you're costing the other guy a shot, basically.
Anyway, looking through here.
Do we, Jeff, do you want to real quick plug our little user contest?
Yeah, I'll do both plugs at once if you want me to get them both out of the way.
Sure.
So, listeners, we would really like to pick one of you to come on and be on the show with us for the full length of recording and basically discuss things with us, bring your own questions to us. We'll probably ask you some questions and so forth. What I'd like you to do, if you'd be interested in doing this, is go to the FFG forums, where we have the Wide World of Wargaming X-Wing thread. Go to Reddit, where I have a thread for Wide World of Wargaming. Go to our Facebook page, Wide World of Wargaming. If you're in the Bay Area, you can go to our SF Bay Area X-Wing page. And just look over the things that we're looking for. You need to have a way to record. So basically, if you've got an average gaming headset, that's going to be good enough for one session. That's not going to be a problem.
I just use a Turtle Beach headset, guys. It's not that complicated.
There you go. I bought for this podcast a $7,000 podcast microphone, but that's just me. You don't need to. You don't need
that's
to. That's
because Jeff's balling like that.
Exactly. It's much cheaper than that. It's completely a joke, actually. I didn't do that.
He's a high roller.
Yeah. So we are going to pick somebody. We've only got a couple of entries so far, so it's not too late. We want to keep the contest going until we get a few more entries at least. Let us know what you want to talk about on X-Wing, why you'd like to be on the show. And we're going to look them over when we've got a few entries. Pick somebody, get in contact with you, work out a day and a time where you can record, and then record the podcast. And Vince will edit it, so don't worry about anything. He's going to edit it so you sound like a genius. Drew is basically, I don't know if you watch Preacher, but Drew is basically Humperdew in real life. And Vince makes him sound amazing, as you've heard, all the time. So, one other plug. We've got a few local small tournaments coming up here in the Bay Area, including one I'm going to be running at Anime Imports in Pacifica on November 16th. So if you're in the area, please check out the events page of the Bay Area X-Wing Facebook, and you'll see it. And get in touch with me if you have any questions or anything. I'd like to see a pretty good turnout. It's going to be a small tournament, so if you're a beginner, that's absolutely fine. Come and play with us. You'll have a great time.
I will be there too.
Are you going to be there, Drew? That's awesome.
Yeah, so my year with the Postal Service contract ends at the end of this week. So I have from the 12th through the 17th off, which is great because that's the day that Disney Plus comes out. So
that's pretty awesome, yeah. Did you do three years in advance for Disney Plus?
Hey, Sherry and I did, yeah. My wife and I had to. But either way, yeah, so I have the week off, so like I'm so excited that I was just about to ask you guys after the podcast, are there any tournaments coming up? Because I finally have time.
There you go. There are there are a few. Check it out.
Oh, that is freaking awesome. I will be to all of them if anyone in the Bay Area wants to go and say hello.
I will be making an appearance at the Gamecastle Fremont tournament on the 10th. That's this coming Sunday. Extended format, 3 rounds. Mm-hmm. I'm really going for 2 reasons. Number one, I need practice. And number two, I really want one of these Foresight Alt Art cards.
There you go. And while we're at it, since I know of this one as well, there's one at Games at Berkeley on the 9th. So
I will be at that one too.
Drew's all X-Wing.
Dude, I have to go. I have to play. Oh, on the 9th? Probably not, but
Listeners, he promised. Yep.
You heard it here first, folks.
We're going to hold you to it. Speaking of all these events, we'll go ahead and start with Jeff since you're plugging it. Is the event at Anime, I presume, is extended? What are you thinking? What's on the what's the chef cooking with?
So it is extended, and I decided to go out of my comfort zone a little bit. I've flown these ships some separately and a little bit even together, but I'm gonna really make a try for it this time. So I'm flying Scum. I'm loading my squad right now. Where are you?
I'm right here, Jeff. Hello there.
I know. it's basically it's Boba Fett, built pretty usual, with IGD, the Slave One title. What else he got? And what? There, I found it. Ha ha. Crackshot, IGD, Contraband Cybernetics, Slave One title, and Shield upgrade. And Vince can make fun of me for that. Leet, the escape craft for the coordinate reinforce, basically. And then Fenral with Predator, and that's a 196 point list, 4 point bid. And I really dislike bidding in general, and I pretty much will not bid higher than 4 points. So if you're ever teching against me specifically at a tournament, just bid 5 points and you're going to beat me no matter what, 100% of the time. Yeah. How about you, Drew? Do you bid when you build?
I've had a very strong internal debate about this. I always like to toot and give a shout out to my friend Daniel Mahoney from Phoenix Squadron. He trained me in 1.0 to not care about whether or not I had the bid. And since then, I've dropped off. And I mean, the game is totally different. And so there's a big internal struggle that I have where I feel like I should be strong enough not to need the bid. But when you look at it, when it helps, it helps tremendously. It really takes a big mental load off of you as a player, especially when you're doing anywhere from 4 to 6 games in a row. So, it helps a lot. So I'm hoping to when I do become a regular to come back and like learn not to need it. But as of right now, I love watching all these lists where all these lower initiative ships and like mini swarms are doing real strong. And I was lucky enough to do well against Sunfac yesterday with my mini ship swarm list. So I'm hoping I feel like I don't need to rely on an initiative 6 in order to do well.
Yeah. So just as a really quick illustration of bidding and moving last, basically, Vince mentioned a website earlier. It's advancedtargeting.computer. So new URL, done by Chris Allen. Seems like we shout out to Chris Allen pretty much every time we record. But so they did. He was demonstrating some of this stuff, and they looked at Suntir Fel and his win rates, right? And Suntir Fel's win rate when he gets to move last, 20% higher.
Yep,
that's so pretty crazy, but makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's immense. 20% higher. And I'm not talking like he goes from 50 plus 20%, which would be 10 to 60. I'm talking about he goes from 50 to 70. That's immense. So what are you flying, Vince?
I am probably looking at one of two things. The first one is a Republic squad I'm working on. That's Rick, Kid Flash, Ahsoka, and Broadside. I'm really excited about Ahsoka with that list, only if a way to get two actions on a broadside. And then flying Rick Oli is just so much damn fun. It's literally flying with your foot all the way depressed on the gas pedal every single turn.
It's really just fun.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. My best move here is probably a one bank, but I don't want to do a one bank
when I can do a 5 straight. I don't understand. It's just weird.
Why would I roll less dice when I can roll more dice?
There's only so many ships in the game with a 5 straight. If I do it, he can't roll as many dice as me. You guys know that I am, at the very least a lower middling chief in Tribe YOLO. And Rick just works. He just works for me. The other list I'm thinking at, and I'm still working on it, is how do I get Wedge, Arville, Blount, and then a fourth ship? Where's the synergy there? Is how do I, because basically if you look at Blount and Arville together, you've got a ready-made combo of subtracting one evade die and then adding an extra die. So the question becomes, who's your fourth? And that's
I mean, you want, it's gotta be something that hits pretty hard. So you're talking about a B-wing, a U-wing, or an X-wing, right?
That's kind of the thought.
Why not Braylon?
Also, Drew, I'm a hipster, but he wins.
The statistics show you have a 20% higher chance of winning if you take Braylon and Wedge.
So that's my question, is now finding out who my fourth is. And it has to be somebody who could take a hit is the other problem. Otherwise, you're talking about a 20-hole list, which is, to be fair, that's not new for me. That's exactly how much health I had when I went to Sacramento and did pretty well. But that's the question, is where's the fourth ship in that group?
What about Hef carrying Leia?
I don't know if I have that. I think I have that many points between, but the other thought is, what if I did two Talos squadrons with Crackshot?
There you go. The Z95 is being brought back. It's being dragged back into X-Wing by these players. And we're glad to see it. And for our Canadian listeners, by the way, it's a Z95.
Look, Daniel Taylor leads and I follow. I worship at the throne of the many time Imperial Assault Champion. He has shown us the true way.
He knows his way around the impasse.
And on that note, folks, we're going to cut it off and run up right on our clock here. Drew, thank you very much for ending the show this week. There's no following that. Go ahead and sign off, guys.
Of course. I'm still bending over waiting for my plug, Jeff.
God. Whoa.
Okay. Oh, did I say that on the air? Oh, my gosh.
Were we still recording?
Goodbye, guys.
Yeah, have a good week.
Thank you very much for listening. Once again, please do jump in on that contest Jeff mentioned. We would really love to get one of you on the program and just let you have as much freedom to troll us as humanly possible.
Absolutely.
Everyone have a good week and good luck at any events you're going to this weekend. Bye-bye.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.